to Keep It Moving with Marcia Jews and Company. Tonight's show is amazing. We have three segments filled with wonderful information. We'll open with former Prince employee, author, and entrepreneur Jeanique Seely's regroup, The How-To of Never Giving Up. This book is launching tomorrow, and we're very excited to get on this before it hit the press. Robin Koval is the CEO and president of Truth Initiatives, a national public health organization dedicated to achieving a culture where all youth and young adults reject tobacco. And they're going to every HBCU around the country. You might want to listen to this. Pastor Francis Tony Draper, the visionary and founding pastor of the Freedom Temple African Methodist Episcopal Zion Church in Brooklyn, Maryland, and member of the founding family of the Afro-American newspaper, will be here tonight talking about the ladies of the Afro. And of course, we're going to be here and close it out with Eric and Lynette Dobson. They're the owners of the Couples Tea House. We're very excited about them and their business. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Jeanique Seely. Do not turn your dial. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're listening to Keep It Moving with Marcia Jews and Company, WEAA 88.9 FM, your source for cool jazz and the voice of the community. We'll be right back. Welcome to Keep It Moving with Marcia Jews and Company on WEAA 88.9 FM, your source for cool jazz and more on WEAA. We are so excited. I don't even know what to do. We have an incredible woman who's on the phone, Jeanique Seely, and she is coming out with a book tomorrow, and it's The How-To of Never Giving Up. But she's also a Harvard-trained attorney, Duke-trained engineer. I like the fact that she wanted y'all to know she went to two top schools, so she's a top in everything she's doing. And she's had an uncommon adventure that led her to working with artists similar, such as Lady Gaga and Prince. And she turned down the opportunity to build her net worth in favor of the opportunity to build her self-worth. That's all I'm going to say. Now, all of you who normally listen to us, our normal listeners, you know when I get the books, I read the books. I actually read the books. I did not get to read this. I just got the press release in my inbox and knew I needed to have this conversation with Jeanique. So, Jeanique, thank you for spinning around in 24 hours.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I am so excited to be on with you, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh, this is really powerful. And what I'd like for you to do, because too often, you know, we think we're going down the right track, and you've had all of these experience with top brands throughout. People die to be part of those realities. And just give us a little background on what you were doing and why you decided to make these major career changes. Because you started out I'm going to build something as an engineer. Then I'm going to go to law and be a contract lawyer or whatever type. And then you went into a whole different direction. So you've had several career changes in a short period of time. Can we just talk about who you are and why you've made the decisions that you've made?
Sure. I will say that I am a lifelong learner. I am a speaker, and I am a person who is always intends to be of the highest service that I can to the people around me, people I know and people I don't know. And I think that's the gist of who I am. I'm a learner. I'm a seeker. And I hope to be of service. You know, that's my intent. And when I, you know, I've had amazing opportunities to do all of those things, to learn from some of the obviously most reputable institutions in the world. And that's a tremendous great fortune and blessing that I was afforded. I've had the tremendous opportunity to learn from some of the most iconic teachers, masters that we know, the tops of their field, and just at the tops of what we can hope to achieve in a lifetime, you know, in more than one lifetime when we're speaking about Prince, especially. And so along the way, you know, when you to whom much is given, much is required, mm-hmm. much is expected. And I live with that in the back of my mind at all times. And so when in a situation, you know, I have opportunity to be comfortable. I have opportunity, you know, when I was in law school, I was presented with a permanent offer. I talk about this in my book, Regroup, and it is truly the how-to of never giving up. It's my recipe for resilience. There's many ways to be resilient. This is my, you know, version of a recipe for that. That's how I describe it. But I was afforded very early in law school, 3 years, usually after your second year, if you're fortunate, you have a permanent offer for employment for the end of the conclusion of your third year. Uncommonly for me, I was given an offer for permanent employment after my first year. After the summer, I was given a summer, it's called an associate position. It's kind of like a high-end internship as a law student. So you're clerking in a law firm. And then they decide at the end to usually invite you back for the subsequent summer. In this case, they invited me back as a permanent employee 2 years later. So that gave me an opportunity to really ask myself, you know, is this what you want to do? Is this the highest use of your opportunities, of your education, of your intelligence, of your determination, you know? And ultimately, that soul searching, the answer was no. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost a guaranteed pathway to become a millionaire, you know, within 10 years. I talk about that. But for me, it was much more important to build my self-worth, to find a path that wasn't well-tread, that was going to require me to utilize the fullest extent of what I had been afforded in terms of education, in terms of exposure, and really something that I can give back as useful experience or encouragement or inspiration that was going to be meaningful to other people. So that's kind of how we got to where we are now, which is the result of a very uncommon path.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's really interesting. First of all, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Michigan.
What part of Michigan?
I'm from Detroit.
From Detroit. Okay. So I lived in Detroit once.
Oh,
and
that
so
is my hometown.
I love it. And so, but I guess that's some Midwestern moors, right?
Yeah.
No, and I think this is really important. That's some Midwestern moors, and you were grounded in Michigan with the idea that you were going to either start out being an engineer or start out being an attorney.
I thought originally that I was going to start out being a doctor.
Okay.
So I went to engineering school.
So you would say, I'm going to do it all, whatever.
In engineering school for Duke, you know, going into medicine, it's a really challenging path. And for engineering, it was an unusual way to get there. I started up biomedical engineering,
mm-hmm.
which was a, you know, unique kind of way to approach the path to going to medical school. So that's how I came into engineering school. I just knew I wanted to be a doctor. If I was 5 years old, you asked me, I'd say I wanted to be a doctor. And as I got into my studies, I realized that I wanted more options. I wanted to be able to explore differently. I wanted to have a broader set of tools to, you know, see what the professional landscape had to offer. So I decided after my sophomore year in college that I would have a conversation with the counselors there and have them help me think through some other options. And we decided I'd stay with engineering because that was a great framework to think through as a problem solver. It helps you think through problems. It gives you a structured approach to approaching issues and obstacles, which I guess mm-hmm. is also reflected in the book. And it's a unique perspective, but ultimately I would go to law school. And that would give me the option of, you know, working in entertainment. It would give me the option of working in business. And it's just a very valuable education to have.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to be very informed about the changes that I made and, you know, take calculated risks.
Well, I think that's really important, too. And I think it's very interesting because sometimes people think that once they start one way, they have to end that way. And what you're saying is you've really exploded that myth. Right. Dispelled that myth
that's
really not how, you know, we're on Morgan State University's campus. And so I think it's really important that people understand that it's really OK to change halfway down in your career.
Right. Well, you know, I think career is to serve you, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you are not your career. Your career is how you're going to spend so much of your time. It's going to be something that provides the experiences that foster your growth as a person, and it should be fulfilling. And even if it's not fulfilling today, even if you don't know exactly how you want to start, the important thing is to start and make it a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, so stay in tune with what you want.
Right. So tell us about, you know, Prince's anniversary of his death, unfortunately, will be on the 20th, right? And how did you meet Prince, and what was that relationship?
Well, it was very unexpected. When I worked in the music industry, I will say that, I've met pretty much everybody who's a household name mm-hmm. within the music industry one way or another. But the only person who ever held any kind of, you know, mysticism for me was Prince. And he was absolutely 100% the person who I wanted to work with, for, around, meet the most. His genius and how he approached novel ways to distribute his music, his maverick approach. You know, when we were studying contracts for the music industry, it was Prince's ingenuity that caused the entire industry to have to shift the way that they draft their contracts.
Really? Why was that?
When he changed his name,
mm-hmm.
you know, that shifted the way that you have to refer to artists and the way that you have to approach bringing them into contract, because that was just unheard of. He found ways around everything and was just 10, 15, 100 steps ahead in his thinking. And I just will never forget that when he released, you know, his album is part of the newspaper circulation. You know, that was unthought of at that time. It was just, you know, when he did the MPG Music Club, you know, that was unthought of, that you would, you know, have a steady stream of music released digitally and direct to your fans who want it most. These are all these new and novel ideas ahead of their time coming from this one person. And I needed to know, you know, how do you think like that? You know, how do you see those opportunities in a landscape where they don't exist
mm-hmm.
and nobody's telling you?
But he hired you to do specifically what? What was your position there with him?
So when this was after I worked with Lady Gaga, I started my own agency, and a prior contact was working with him. He was looking for an in-house attorney, business affairs person. And so they asked me if I wanted to submit a resume. I did, and ultimately he decided to hire me. So that's what I came on board to do, and that's how I got hired.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's a huge undertaking.
Oh, my gosh.
How old were you then?
I was 30, in my mid-30s.
Okay.
I think I was at 35 or 36.
Mm-hmm. And so that's profound, right?
It was. Well, you know, he was very, very adamant about fostering the development, the career development of Black females, Black female professionals across all fields. And I don't think people really knew that, but mm-hmm. there were so many things that he did behind the scenes to support and encourage the development, the career development, the visibility, the access for Black females specifically. He was just an incredible person in that way, an incredible mentor.
Now, one thing I think that's really interesting, that in the preliminary material that you all sent me, you said, so here is how I choose to talk about Prince, as I've come mm-hmm. to understand it, as I saw it, everything he did, everything and everyone he touched was in the end a composition. That's a powerful statement.
Yes, and you know, it's taken me, I feel bad about it, actually. It's taken me a year, almost. I made it a point to say what I could say about him, and it took me a long time to process it, to say it in a way that serves his legacy in the best way that I can, and that speaks in a worthy way of him and who he was to me and others, you know, in the way that I experienced it. And, you know, working with him, he challenged me directly. You know, like, as you asked me, what did I begin with him as position-wise? How did I come to work with him? And I'm telling you, I came as an attorney, but he constantly asked me, what do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was so unusual. You know, I was like, well, whatever you want me to do, you know, you hire me. But he constantly asked me, what do you want to do? And it was as if he was looking for that true, and I'll call it a melody of who I could become as a person. And he would push that, you know, and he would push me. And in a way that was hard to understand at the time, because it was, you know, he's just beyond. And it was thinking, you know, for me, it was a challenge to get to that place and say, you know, can I really do this? Can I really be this? And he would set the stage to foster that kind of growth and development. I think once he identified that this is within this person, this, you know, I'm going to set the stage for these traits and this characteristic to come out for their growth.
These traits.
Yes.
That's really deep. That it seems like, it sounds like he almost does a psychoanalysis of the people that are around him.
That's exactly right.
Right?
That's exactly right. The first conversation I had with him was over the phone, and absolutely 100%, he took himself on a tour of my mind and my thinking. You know, he asked questions. He makes statements to gauge my reaction. You know, we talked for over an hour, and it was enjoyable, it was educational, it was unbelievable, it was all of those things. He's so brilliant, and just to be able to have that interaction, you would grow just because he's going to educate you, or he's going to push you. He wants you to grow, you know, just in that minimal interaction. But fortunately, I had, you know, more than that conversation, so.
You know, it just dawned on me. I was in Detroit, actually, and Prince was performing. This was years ago. It had to be in the 90s. And, oh, it was amazing because I looked up, and here was Dwight Roden and Desmond Richardson, former dancers with Alvin Ailey, and a whole crew of people. And in walks Prince and sits at the head of the table. And we were really trying to be cool and not act ignorant and jump up and down and scream with him near us, right? And so when we looked up, here comes Desmond and Dwight to come over to say hi to me. And they actually took me over to introduce me to Prince. And he was very pleasant, but you could tell that he felt that he had been interrupted. But he did. He was gracious. He was gracious.
Well, That sounds like him. Yeah, I think he knows that people, you know, when they meet him, are going to have, you know, one of several reactions, but definitely on the, you know, it's an unusual experience for them. So I think he's ready.
I know, girl. And I know he felt like, oh, God, is she going to attack me? I mean, that's how he was looking. He was kind of scared. I know, because I went over there. My eyes were bucked, just like a groupie.
When I first met him in person, I was hoping that I wouldn't embarrass myself. I was like, oh my gosh, I hope I could just keep it cool.
And that's right. I mean, he's so iconic, and I grew up listening. Everything was about Prince. That man was fabulous.
Oh, yes.
I know. Girl, thank you so much for indulging us, and we thoroughly enjoyed this interview.
Well, absolutely. It was my pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. Janique Seeley. You're listening to Keep It Moving with Marcia Jews, WEAA 88.9 FM, your source for cool jazz and the voice of the community. Welcome to Keep It Moving with Marcia Jews and Company, WEAA 88.9 FM, your source for cool jazz and the voice of the community. Well, this is very interesting. Apparently, 47,000 African Americans die from smoking-related diseases every year. And the Truth Initiative and the CVS Health Foundation are joining together to work with students and administrators at HBCUs and community colleges across the country to adopt 100% smoke or tobacco-free policies. I'm very excited to have Robin Colville here, who's the president and CEO of Truth Initiative. Hello, Robin. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
This is amazing. So how did your organization come about, and why is this so clearly we know why it's so important, but how are you deploying such a program?
Well, sure. So Truth Initiative was founded back in the late 90s when the Master Settlement Agreement happened. You may remember 46 states sued the four big tobacco companies, mm-hmm. and there was a big settlement, and some of the money went to found our organization. And our mission is really to achieve a culture where youth and young adults reject tobacco. And we started working in 2014, actually, with HBCUs and community colleges, because we know that about 97% of all young people who start smoking do so before the age of 27. Hmm. So if we can get you while you're young, certainly for young people on college campuses, and prevent smoking or prevent people from progressing in their smoking, get, you know, you just quit while you're young, we can save a lot of lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think it's really interesting because I do remember when all of that occurred, but, you know, we haven't really heard much about it before. So what prompted you to decide that we're going to make an all-out conversation about this now? Why now? What happened? Did something occur?
Well, you know, we actually, the Truth Campaign, which is our primary program, and it's a public education program that's directed at young people, has been around since 2000. Mm-hmm. The smoking rate when we first started was 23%, if you can imagine that, 23% of all teens in America smoke. Today, that's only 6%, and we continue that campaign. But our most recent effort has been one that really is directed at the social justice perspective on smoking, because while on average only 6% of young people still smoke, that's about 13% for young adults, 18 to 24-year-olds, it's not even across all populations and all geography. And we know that the tobacco industry has really had its bullseye on, we would even say profiling, particular populations. For example, in African-American communities in some areas, the number of ads for tobacco can be up to 10 times that it is in other neighborhoods. We know that the number of stores and the number of ads in low-income areas can be multiples of what it is in other areas. So, you know, depending on who you are, where you live, how much you have, you can be a real prospect for the tobacco industry. And so that's one of the reasons why we particularly wanted to focus on college communities, but college communities where the populations are ones that the tobacco industry has really been focusing on. And that includes HBCUs and community colleges. You know, about 45% of all of the college students in America actually go to community colleges.
Well, I see also in some of the paperwork, the LGBTQ communities and people with mental illness. That's
You're
really
right.
powerful.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, you know, we all, people who have education and access and are living lives that are less stressful than others, are able to reject tobacco. Mm-hmm. But if you're somebody with challenges in your life, it's harder to do that. So, for instance, the LGBTQ community, we know that youth, LGBTQ youth, smoke at twice the rate of the general population. They've been targeted, and let's face it, as young people, these folks are often dealing with a lot of stress.
Right.
Families or just coming to grips with who they are. We know that over 40% of all the cigarettes smoked in the United States are consumed by people with some sort of mental health issue. Hmm. And, you know, we know that tobacco is something that people turn to sometimes when they're under a lot of stress or dealing with a mental health challenge. So it's really important that, you know, as we try to achieve this culture where youth and young adults reject tobacco, that we make sure that we focus on those communities that the tobacco industry is spending over $9 billion a year in the United States alone to promote their deadly products.
Wow. So now the name of this campaign is called Stop Profiling.
Yes, well, that's the latest installment of the Truth campaign. We premiered it actually at the Grammys this past February, and we're continuing to support it because, you know, we think what the tobacco industry does in focusing on African-American communities and low-income communities and other particular populations isn't just target marketing, mm-hmm. right, which is often about promoting benefits to consumers who, you know, have the ability to choose how to maximize their benefits. If you're choosing, you know, I want to, you know, eat at Wendy's or I want to eat at McDonald's, right? In this case, what the tobacco industry does is actually single out people based sometimes on who they are, particular challenges they may have, sometimes their lack of ability to resist the appeal of big tobacco. And that just feels wrong to us. That feels more like profiling than mm-hmm. targeting.
It really does. And I guess one of the things is, as you look at each one of these campuses, what will you be doing on each one of the campuses?
So what we do, we'll be focusing on a little over 100 schools. As we try to get these schools ready and then equipped to enact policies. So it's really a top-down, bottom-up approach, helping the administration of the school understand what a tobacco-free policy is, where the best practices are, creating readiness among the student population to let them know it's coming. You can't just, you know, put up a sign one day and expect everybody to understand and comply, and then also to enforce it. But, you know, here's what we know, that most smokers, over 70% of people who smoke actually want to quit. So these policies really help people do, you know, what they already would like help in doing. And, you know, they have a lot of benefits beyond just, of course, preventing smoking and helping people, encouraging them to quit. It protects the entire population of the school, the students, the faculty, the staff at these schools avoid secondhand smoke. It creates a better environment. Cigarette butts are actually the most littered thing in the United States, and, you know, they leach toxic chemicals into the soil, into the water, and it also has a financial impact. We know that students really, really care about their financial health. They're all worried about getting jobs. That's a lot of the reason why they're in school to begin with, especially, you know, at community colleges. And we know that smokers, on average, make 20% less than non-smokers.
Wow.
There are a lot of reasons for that, but this is one you can control.
Right. So, listen, this is really important for us, and considering that we are airing from Morgan State University, and I don't see smoking on this campus. So I would imagine that our president and regents are focused on making certain that this is part of your program. But how can people learn more? If you could give us a contact information, your website.
Sure. So you can learn all about our program and all the other things we do at truthinitiative.org. And you can see all the schools that we are working with. We're actually working with four schools in Maryland right now, two HBCUs, Bowie State University and the University of Maryland at Eastern Shore, and two community colleges, Anne Arundel Community College and the College of Southern Maryland.
Okay.
So we're really proud of that. And, yes, we hope lots of people come and visit us and help us, as we like to say, finish it.
Well, thank you very much, Robin Koval and the Truth Initiative. And certainly we do want to thank CVS Health Foundation for their commitment. And CVS drugstores are in our communities in most major cities where there are historically Black colleges and universities. So, Robin, we thank you for your hard work and your commitment to the growth and the development of each one of these communities. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Keep It Moving with Marcia Jews and Company, WEAA 88.9 FM, your source for cool jazz and the voice of the community. We'll be right back. Jews and Company on WEAA 88.9 FM, your source for cool jazz and the voice of the community. I'm so excited. When I first got to Baltimore, I was at, all this noise, Lord have mercy. When I got back to Baltimore, my first job, real job, long-term job, was at the Afro-American newspaper. And this year, they are celebrating the 125th year being in business from their founding. And what's so beautiful about it is the Murphy family has tentacles that go back over 125 years, and it's really amazing. And I'm just grateful to have, I guess it's Reverend Dr. Pastor Francis Murphy Draper. See, it's really, she tried to choke me down, y'all. But also known as Pastor Tony, and at that time, Tony was the president of the Afro-American newspaper. I know you still, you're the pastor now, but you were the president at that time,
that's
right?
True. That's true.
And she hired me, and we also have in with us in studio Eric and Lynette Dobson, who own Couples Tea House, and I'm so excited that the two of you are here. This couple have created this whole entrepreneur business and done it together. And I think the name and just signifies all that that's about. And it's just the couples, and they are really a couple. They're sort of the yin and yang, and you can see that in how they function. But we're here to talk about a upcoming event that we're all participating in. And I'm going to ask my dear friend, Pastor Tony, to share with us what this big deal is next Sunday.
Thank you, Marcia, and good to be with you. Next Sunday, which is April 23rd, the Afro-American Newspapers, in conjunction with our 125th anniversary, is hosting a high tea in honor of Women of the Afro. It's a little bit of history about how we got to this idea of a tea and honoring women. Depending on who you talk to about the history of the paper, Martha Murphy, my great-grandmother, the women of the family say she loaned John Murphy the $200 to buy the name and the press at an auction. And the men say she gave it to him regardless. She was the person.
Loan or to give.
It doesn't matter.
She still started with the money, though.
I like to say she gave it.
You know what I'm saying?
Like
she did, because it was part of her heart.
Right. They had 10 children, so I like to say she gave it.
I know she gave it to
And so because Martha Murphy really was part of the founding of the paper. And so many women have worked at the Afro over the years, because when the wars came along, the men went to war, the women went to work. We just thought we would honor the women of the Afro, not just the Murphy women, but women like you, Marcia, and women who were paper girls and who worked in any capacity, whether they wrote a column or took a photo or helped to lay out the paper. And so we are accumulating this list of names. So people have been calling and emailing the Afro to say, my mother worked there, or my aunt worked there, or I worked there. And so we're trying to do a list of names as well.
That's really powerful. And I think what's really interesting, because I worked with Ida Peters, who was in advertising, and your mother, who was the publisher in the Washington, D.C. area. And, you know, it's just amazing to see through that period, because those eras were different. It was a different time, and
you didn't
see a lot of women doing a lot of things. They were sort of in the background, but these were real leadership roles that the Murphy women had really taken over, and the people that worked with them. And I think that that has to be applauded. It's really serious, too.
It is serious. And my grandfather had all girls.
See? And so here you go. You have all these women who are basically running, but they have been given, you know, we're talking about 125 years. So through that time, you know, you had women who were going through trying to the suffragettes and all of that. That was a period of time where women were trying to find their footing. But these Murphy women had their footing internally in their own family business.
Right.
That's a powerful statement.
Right. So we're having this high tea at the Sharon Baptist Church, which shares part of the Afro's history, on Sunday, the 23rd of April. It is a sold-out event.
Yes, it is. But I think it's sold out in the sense that there aren't any more seats, but the legacy of this event will carry on. And it's the legacy of the women that were there and their involvement that creates the excitement of what it really represents. Because this is really one of many other things that are going to go on throughout up until the big event, which is in August, right?
In August.
And where can we get tickets for August?
You can get tickets by either calling 410-554-8200, 410-554-8200, and asking for Diane Hocker. You can get tickets that way, or emailing her at diane@afro.com.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's, and she runs the charity, Afro Charity.
Afro Charities. Mm-hmm. In fact, the big gala in August is to benefit Afro Charities,
which has been around a long time. From that came the Mrs. Santa.
Right.
And other programs.
Clean Block
program, which was the first environmental program in the country.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, I had to reach back for that. I remember all that from back then when I worked. And you know, that was back in the mid-80s when I worked there. Tony said, wow, she's not going to mention that she was still alive. So now, the expectation from Afro Charities is for the growth of Afro Charities. What are some of the things that you all have planned beyond that? Or are we just focusing right now on the 125th?
Well, the proceeds from the 125th will go to support paid internships at both Morgan and Howard for journalism students.
Wow.
And so we're hoping to, you know, really raise a significant amount of funds to support that.
Oh, that's powerful and necessary. Particularly now, we need as many young people who are trained to hit the streets with the degrees in journalism.
Right. So the August event is exciting. Margot Shetterly, the author of Hidden Figures, is the keynote speaker, we're excited about that. But we're as excited about this upcoming tea and your other guests who are here in the studio and their involvement with the tea.
And so I guess that's a great segue to go to the other side of the room for those of you who are on live Facebook. So on the other side of the room, we're really happy to have the founders of the Couples Tea House. And it is really our honor, because this company is creating an environment where people who are tea lovers have a great place to be able to find them. So, but I want to give you a little background on both of them individually. It was a no-brainer that Eric says when he decided to become a business owner. He had spent his entire career in communications and mostly managing an Emmy award-winning television station and teaching multimedia production at Morgan State University in Towson. And in his search to find alternatives to carbonated sugary drinks, sugar-laden juices, he discovered tea. Because there were so many varieties and flavors to choose from, and not to mention its many medicinal purposes. Mm-hmm. And he knew then that he needed to learn and wanted to learn more about tea. Lynette, the idea of his wife, the idea of a tea house, had been something that she had considered for a long time. And her background, being in public relations and communications, she knew that becoming a business owner wasn't too far off from the realm of possibility. And in 2015, while having tea in one of her favorite cafes, she and her husband resolved that they wanted to give business ownership a shot. Mm-hmm. And they knew they wanted to do it with an urban-inspired flair. And so here we are today talking about the world, the couple's tea house. Mm-hmm. And they're the proud sponsors of the ladies' tea coming up. For the Afro. So welcome.
Thank you.
This is really nice. It's so exciting to have you all here. And let me just say this to you all. You know, sometimes people, particularly small business, we know that it's not easy to always become a sponsor and to donate because you're new.
That's correct.
And we're real clear about that. But I want you all to know that I didn't have to ask, not twice, and I hardly had to even go into a discussion because they were there.
Yes, indeed.
And that's really important because, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. But it also comes back, you know, and so we're really grateful to have you all, Couples Tea, as a sponsor, the tea sponsor, for our upcoming event, the Afro Ladies Tea, right?
Yep, the Afro high tea.
High tea. Yeah, because somebody said I had to wear gloves. So, you know, I just, that's what, right, high tea. You got to put the gloves on. I got that. I got that the other day. So anyway, no, I didn't get a real hat. But anyway, let's go back to the tea.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to provide tea for every table. Mm-hmm. And why don't you all tell us mm-hmm. about, one, tell us about the company, and then tell us about your teas.
Well, Couples Tea House, as you've mentioned before, it's spelled C-U-P-L-E-S, is a family-owned business, my wife and I, and it's really a dream, the fulfillment of a dream. My wife always wanted to do a bed and breakfast, and we love entertaining, so what we wanted to do was to create something where people could come and feel comfortable and feel like family. Over the beverage that is the most consumed beverage in the world behind water, and that's tea. Tea is a cultural beverage all over the world except in our community. So this is why this really is a great opportunity for us to celebrate 125 years of the Afro around this cultural beverage that we call, through something we call the Urban Tea Experience. Mm. Couples Tea House is right now strictly online. We have 34 different teas on our website. You can order, and we do tea parties, tea events. But we've been blessed to have the opportunity to do some retail things, too. So we're in Modern Cook Shop, Dovecote, and our teas are also at Maryland Institute College of Art. So this has just been a whirlwind, great opportunity for us. We've been doing this for 2 years. And we're just so appreciative of this opportunity.
Mm-hmm. We were just excited when you put out the call on Facebook a few weeks back. And so many people were chiming in saying, you know, recommending Couples Tea House. We're like, oh, they really like us.
Yeah, and you all called right away, too. You responded. I mean, that was serious, which was really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, like you said, it was a no-brainer for us. You know, we thought about it and thought about the reach that the Afro would have and your sponsors would have. And it was just a no-brainer for us.
And just what the Afro means and has meant to our community. Mm-hmm. And we grew up with it. You know what I mean? So it's a no-brainer for us.
And you're friends with Pastor Tony's son.
That's right.
So almost you've been part of the family.
Part of the family.
Right?
This is Smaltimore.
Kevin.
Smaltimore.
Bobby Blount. I mean, everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all grew up together.
Yeah. That's cute.
Yeah.
So now, what are we expecting for the tea? And so how are you going to, what types of teas are you going to have? At
well,
the
I think we're going to do just one of each type of tea, a black tea, a green tea, an herbal tea, a white tea perhaps. And we're going to present it to the ladies in a way that, you know, we'll kind of do the descriptions of the teas and we'll mm-hmm. kind of tell everybody a little bit about the teas. And perhaps provide some additional information mm-hmm. about, you know, what we're going to have available.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now when you mentioned four categories.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I think of four categories, you said black
mm-hmm.
and green and a white tea. And then you said
herbal.
Something else.
And
herbal.
So and we may do.
They're not all herbal?
Oolong. No.
I'm not a tea drinker, so you all have to. I drink coffee,
mm-hmm.
and so you know you have to convert me.
We're going
to
convert you,
but now this sounds like it's a whole process, and there's a science.
Sure,
oh,
sure.
Yeah.
So talk to us about the science of the teas.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
When you speak of tea, it all comes from the same plant, the Camellia sinensis plant, and what distinguishes a black tea from a white tea. From a green tea is basically the oxidation or the way it's been processed. So the longer the oxidation process, then you'll get a black tea. And then
where does it get oxidized?
It's through a process of heat and
in a building.
Well, where it's harvested.
Oh, where it's harvested. Okay. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
So when we talk about herbals, that is exactly what I mean. It's a plant. So when we talk about herbals, it is an herbal tea. An herbal is not considered a tea because it does not come from that plant. So when you drink a hibiscus from a hibiscus flower, you're drinking an herbal because it's from the flower, and it has
mm-hmm.
no caffeine.
Okay, so but does it have a process or has it been mixed with something in
it
order
depends,
for it to be the tea that we end up with? Or?
Yeah, because I love to drink a straight hibiscus tea.
Straight from the plant.
Yeah. So it's just dried hibiscus leaves with hot water.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not considered a tea.
Uh-huh.
But if I were to add a black tea to it, it is then now a tea blend, a herbal tea blend.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a whole lot of different processes that determine what's a tea and what's an herbal. And it's really a fascinating industry as we've learned more about tea blending and blending different flavors.
So are you all blending and creating and mixing in
well,
your own teas?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, it was important for us to learn about the process
mm-hmm.
because, you know, then we can talk to people about how it's processed because people are interested
yeah.
in that kind of thing. But for us, it was important that we got all of the facts behind
mm-hmm.
it's you know, what to call a blend and what to call, you know, a caffeinated tea, you
an
know.
Herbal tea, and working with different tea sources and tea blenders to determine, okay, we're looking for a tea that's high. You know, we have a coffee lover over there, so we're looking for a tea that tastes like coffee with the same amount of caffeine or more, but it's an herbal.
But it's an herbal tea.
Tea.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to taste like coffee. It just needs to give me that boost.
Oh, this tea that we're going to give you.
Okay, so is that my specialty?
Coffee.
Is this Marsha's specialty?
You can call it what you want.
Right.
You
can call it what you want. This is what we're going to give you, whatever it is. Lord,
we're not actually blending where
okay.
we are now.
Well, okay. We have one tea that we blended ourselves,
Yeah, we have one specialty blend that we have. And we've worked with a blender to put that
so there's
together.
A blending company.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tea houses are mm-hmm. actually involved in the blending process.
Huh. Yeah.
And you know, blending is something as simple as if we decide, okay, let's come up with a chamomile tea with some lavender and green tea and lemongrass. And we sit with those herbs and we put them together and mix a tea. We put it together and we're, oh, this is awesome. This is great. We'll call it Eric and Lynette's tea.
Mm. Okay, so yeah. then your taste, you're putting out, they're giving you back what the ingredients are.
Mm-hmm.
Are you creating your own names for these teas?
Yes. Or,
yes. Okay, uh-huh. so you have a
yeah.
specialty tea.
It's
now there was.
It's called Be More Chai.
Be More Chai.
Be More Chai.
Yeah.
You know, they do a lot of chai drinks at a lot of different places that have coffee and stuff too.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so Be More Chai.
Be More Chai.
And it's a blend, right?
Is a blend. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's peppercorn.
You can't tell them what's in.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, she can.
It's a secret formula.
Well, she can. Okay. So.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
See how you. See, girl, he's like this all the time, I bet. So
yes,
now this secret chai has pepper.
Peppercorn.
Peppercorn. Ah. Cloves.
Okay. Peppercorn, cloves, garlic.
Cardamom.
Garlic. Sorry, ginger.
Uh-huh. Cardamom.
Cardamom, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's a strong, heavy, like sounds
yes.
like a strong bodied
spicy, yeah.
tea.
Like Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. It's spicy, all right. Lord have mercy. So now when we go to your website and people don't necessarily know what these are, do you have descriptions about them?
Yes, yeah, yeah. On the website, there are photos of the teas and there are descriptions about each tea blend. And we also have, you know, events page. We've got a page where you can go to get the latest news about what
blog.
We're doing, a blog. Mm-hmm. So the website is pretty, it's pretty easy to maneuver.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lot of information in it.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So now this coming Sunday, you all are going to be there. You're going to have a little order form. So if people wanted to order the tea, but can you give us a sense of what teas are going to be there so that our ladies can have an idea, or you're still working out your magic?
We're still working the magic out.
I know one tea that will be on there is a tea. It's an actual herbal. It's a rooibos. It's called Afro Blue.
Oh,
green
nice.
Berry rooibos.
Oh.
So it's a rooibos. It's a green rooibos with blueberries, and we named it Afro Blue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of our top sellers. I think that the ladies will
love that.
You
know, it's deep. The music for my show is called Afro Blue.
Uh-huh.
See?
Uh-huh.
And the person who actually, you're going to make me cry. The person who actually sings that song, one of my dear, dear friends, he's no longer with us, a jazz singer. We're going to play it for you so you can hear it after the end of it. But Jeffrey Smith.
Okay.
And that. I play that song as my ode to him.
All right.
But that Afro Blue.
But that was important to us. You know, we talk about the whole urban culture experience.
Yes.
It was important that we identified our brand with the culture.
Oh, well, that's what I want as my tea on Sunday. Afro Blue.
Afro Blue.
I want Afro Blue.
All right.
Oh, that's powerful.
Nice.
Good.
That's really interesting. Go
ahead,
Tony.
You'll have to have a tea named just for the 125th anniversary of
that. And we've been talking about that. Yeah, we've been talking about that, what we could do. I mean, you know.
We'll have to talk with you and see what that might look like.
You know, the other thing I was curious about, the teas that have the medicinal value, what blends and for what purposes are they used?
Well, a lot of the, like, for example, a lot of the hibiscus teas or hibiscus blends are good for blood pressure, high blood pressure. A lot of the green teas have a lot of antioxidants.
We have a turmeric tea.
We have a turmeric ginger rooibos tea.
And that is the super tea. I mean,
and what does it do?
What doesn't it do is the question, it's the shorter list. I mean, because the turmeric, you know, you're talking about joint pain, muscle aches, you're talking swelling, it reduces swelling. So it's really the super tea is what we have in our description about that tea.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. And the fact that, you know, with the benefits of the ginger in the digestive system as well. So teas are very medicinal, and you know that a lot of teas and a lot of herbs are used all over the world to heal. And that's one of the things that really interest us. And you read in the bio about really getting these sugary drinks and some of these drinks out of our community and really getting folks to understand how great this tea beverage is and how good for you it is. So
ask him about the chamomile.
And the chamomile tea? What about the chamomile?
Chamomile. This chamomile that we have is but this chamomile tea that we have knocks me out like a baby. And you know, chamomile.
Oh, it makes you go to sleep?
Oh, man.
Oh, it does.
Really?
This chamomile tea, through the night. So, you know, it's like Benadryl for adults.
Oh, you're kidding.
But this chamomile tea, and chamomile has been known to make you rest and make you go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't believe it, you know.
They call it the sleepy time tea.
They call it the sleepy time tea. And I didn't believe it until we got this batch of chamomile tea. And she laughs at me because I drink it every night and it knocks me out.
Where does it come from?
It's a flower. So it's basically one of the tea sources that we work with. Since mm-hmm. it's a bag of chamomile flowers, mm-hmm. but it's amazing.
Oh, they send you the flowers themselves, flowers.
Yeah, the flowers is the blend.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what region it comes from? Oh, you can't tell.
Different regions for the chamomile flower, but. You know,
we only have a few minutes, but we need a WEAA tea too.
We bought you guys some tea.
Yay!
We bought some tea for the station. But,
that's cool.
Yeah.
So, but Tony, when we think about the Afro tea, we need something spicy.
Mm-hmm.
We need something that's long suffering.
That's right.
Ooh, long suffering.
Yeah, because you know we've gone through so many changes in our community, mm-hmm. and the Afro has been able to capture that. Oh, so here's a couple's. Can you get a cup? Oh, what beautiful packaging.
Thank you.
Oh, look at this. Here's an Earl Grey Moonlight.
Mm-hmm.
These are beautiful. Oh, look at this. And so we've got Katanya over there. She's doing Facebook Live, so she'll get a picture. You guys have to go up on my Facebook page to see them.
We owe that packaging to a guy by the name of Duran Epps, who's just an amazing graphic artist, mm-hmm. and Kenny Clapp, who took the photos. So we just all praises to the two of them for just being.
Yeah, and I really like the logo, too. It's really nice.
Thank you.
So now when we sit down again, you're going to come up with, so are we going to announce the name of the Afro tea come Sunday?
We can definitely do that.
That's wonderful.
Could we announce the name of the Afro tea come Sunday? Is that what you said?
Absolutely.
Oh, they said yeah.
Great.
Okay, so
absolutely.
You must be tired because you're just so laid back. That's not how she was when she was running the Afro. That girl was on steroids.
See what happens. It's like tea. It gets better with age.
It gets better with
absolutely.
Age. When's my time coming? All right, we've had a great time tonight.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Eric and Lynette.
Thank you all. You are
fabulous. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're the only black tea company I know in the Baltimore area.
Well,
I think there's a few others.
Okay, well, we don't know them. Right. So it's really great. It's really great to have you here, and it's really great that you're doing what you do, and we have to be supportive, and that's our commitment to
you. Thank you. Thank you.
And
Marsha, I want to correct Diane's email.
Oh, okay.
It's dhocker. Uh-huh. At afro.com. That's H-O-C-K-E-R. H-O-C-K-E-R.
Okay, and that's for you all to be able to get tickets and information
for the August
125th year. And thank you so much, Pastor Tony. And she is down in Brooklyn.
I'm in Baltimore.
You're now in Baltimore.
I'm in Baltimore on Hollins Ferry Road.
Outstanding. Right. So give us the name of the church.
Freedom Temple, AME Zion Church, mm. right on Hollins Ferry Road, down from St. Agnes, up from the Patapsco Flea Market.
Outstanding. Mm. All right, here we go. We've had a full show, and this concludes it. And we'll be back next week. A big thank you to all the rest of our guests, team members Mike, Andre, Iori, Sandy, Katanya, Meredith, Peyton, Deja. To Keep It Moving with Marsha Jews and Company, please visit WEAA.org to hear our podcast. For more information and ad rates, give us a call. Keep It Moving, Marsha Jews at gmail.com. Until next week, make sure you listen to WEAA 88.9 FM, your source for cool jazz. And until next week, keep it moving.